Greetings, I am Shusada Kona Kumada. Welcome to Satsang. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine.
Good evening, everybody. This is Chusada, and thank you so much for joining us again for Satsang tonight. We're ready to get started. So go ahead, take a nice deep breath, and I will clear the space. Mother, Father, God that I am, through the great central sun hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, and the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zakiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. And now bring forth the invincible ring, past knot, and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth the shaft of pure Christ light, one to surround each of us, and I ask that they be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them, and I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity, and I place myself in service to you tonight. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. Because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Okay, come on back. Let's get started. So tonight's show is going to be titled Shifting and Lifting. And I say that because it sounds very professional. Like I actually know what we're going to talk about tonight. Right, PLN? She's giving me a hard time lately because she's been listening to our archives at work. And she says, in just about every archive, one of the first things I say once we do the clearing is, so what are we going to talk about tonight? Because I never know. I just never know. But I will say, shifting and lifting is where we're going to start. We may not stay there long. And I did bring this up here in Charlotte before we did this program. Because I think it's important. And the song that I chose tonight for meditation comes from this same thing. What I've been witnessing in my students since December, maybe even into November, but the end of the year and then coming into this year in the month of January was a lot of turmoil, an awful, awful lot of turmoil, which is very normal for moving out of one year, going into another, and everything has to shift once we start the new year off anyway. And as I was saying to them, and I think I said this last week, but I'll reiterate, you know, when we move into a new year, there is, it's kind of like the light quotient gets bumped up on the planet. And so we move into like kind of that next octave of vibration. And what it forces everyone to do is to readjust to that level. Now, some people are already functioning, you know, at that level. Some people function beyond that level anyway, so it doesn't impact them as much. Others are going to struggle to readjust to the level. And the way that you can experience that is there are many different ways. You may experience it through just physically being very tired or, you know, finding you've got mood swings going on or just different kind of aches and pains. And a lot of people will experience a difference in their heart rate. You'll be kind of sitting and not really doing anything, and you'll experience that your heart maybe is beating like stronger than usual, and you become very aware of it, or it can start to race sometimes. That's very normal for when the light quotient gets raised, because your body has to readjust, and you experience it through your heart. And then you're also going to experience it in your life circumstances. So in the external world, what I've been watching with most of my students is a lot of conflict. That's probably the best word to use. It can just be internal conflict, but it's most often conflict outside of them in the external world. And I mean, I have some of my students who really have gotten bombarded from every angle with just all kinds of stuff going on that they're kind of just spinning, going, wow, what happened? And when am I going to get this under control? So I'm bringing this up because I want you, first of all, to know that I was experiencing this very strongly this afternoon when I was starting to prepare for session tonight. And I was getting this almost buoyancy that I was experiencing that I haven't felt in a really long time. And it's an interesting thing. A lot of times when the energies come in, they hit me before they hit my students. And usually it's a couple weeks up to a month ahead of time. And if you've listened to me long enough, you'll know that I do, you know, kind of give people a heads up when I recognize that there's really rough energy coming. I will always say to my students, you know, just get ready, you know, duck and cover, do what you got to do. But it works in reverse too. And so right now, everyone's been experiencing such a difficult time in many regards. And I can right now attest to the fact that the energies will be lifting for most people. And it, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to lift for the whole year or anything like that, but it'll give people a respite, which is going to be much needed. And I'm kind of happy to be able to be the bearer of that news tonight. So expect a lifting of the energies. And I really did want to bring it up because I feel the collective is just really struggling right now. It's really, really struggling. There's so much coming up, and it's coming up in every country and all different ways. And, you know, here in America, we've got the primaries going on and all of the drama around all of that, you know, and it's a beautiful, you know, we've got Bernie Sanders here, the Democrat running, and he's so different, you know, like he's like a breath of fresh air to those who don't want to function from kind of the space of the establishment. And so it's challenging, you know, you've got one side where people are going to really, really connect with him and be like, oh my gosh, that is so what we're looking for. Someone who truly stands outside of, you know, all of the corporate stuff that seems to run the country. But then you're also going to have a lot of people who feel extremely challenged by what he's bringing and will be in a lot of opposition to it. And it is, you know, remember, it's no different. It doesn't matter if you're having the conflict with your spouse or if the conflict is between you, your belief system, and this guy running for president and what he represents. In that, he's going to challenge your beliefs. And, you know, so a lot of the country, when you look at especially the, and I'm going to say this is, of course, a generalization, but by and large, a lot of the older people in the country still hold that more Republican, more right-wing, conservative viewpoint. And they are really getting challenged right now with everything that's going on. And of course, the young kids are all super stoked about, you know, feel the burn, which is very cool. So we're seeing this whole thing play out, you know, here. And it's something to be excited about. And I think that's what I was saying to the group here in Charlotte, is that you have to remember that all of these challenges that you come into, this conflict that you have in your world, it's all here because it needs to be. And not because it needs to be because you need to be punished, or it needs to be because you've done such a crappy job that you brought it to yourself. You know, nothing where you should be judgmental about why you're having to walk through whatever it is you're having to walk through. But just to recognize that the only reason it's playing out is because it's necessary. And it's necessary for your growth and for your advancement and your evolution. And so to stop looking at it as, oh my God, like one more thing I have to get through, and like, you know, great, one more thing I have to get through. And that's okay. Because if you keep, I'm not going to say a positive attitude about it, but if you just keep that attitude about it, that I'm going to get through this, right? That I'm not going to quit on myself and I'm not going to give up. I'm going to get through this. Then that's one more piece of the puzzle that you have the opportunity to lock in place. You know, the puzzle that is, when it's all put together, it leads to the dissolution of the personal self, the dissolution of all of that that holds you locked into the reality that you're stuck in, that exists within that space of duality. You have an opportunity with every challenge to go one step closer, lock one more piece in place, you know, and maybe you pick up that piece of the puzzle and you go to stick it in and it's the wrong piece, and that's okay, because what did you learn? You learned that was the wrong piece, right? So that took that out of the equation. And now we'll pick up the next piece. You see, so there is no, it's good. You can use the puzzle as a thing to point to, because it is true. You put a puzzle together and for every piece that you fail at, but that's one less thing that's taken out of the equation. And so now your chances for success just get better and better and better every time you try. Every time you try. And if you don't try, there is no success. You can't put the puzzle together without physically trying to put the puzzle together, right? And so it's interesting. This just popped up. I had a session with someone this week, and what we were talking about was effort. And I said to him very specifically, if you haven't caught on to this yet, just in case, because it was something that, you know, I'll say it and it'll sound like duh, but it was something where I had a real revelation about it in my own journey. I came to this space one day. I was angry about something. I don't remember what it was. I was like just angry about, you know, it may have been my house. Like, cause I'm, you know, I'm a mom of three and five people in a house, and there's a lot to pick up all the time and straighten up and clean and all that. And it's this constant thing. And I think that's what it was. I was looking around in my house, outside of the house, at the yard, at say the grass that hadn't been cut, and you know, stuff that was strewn around the yard that hadn't been picked up, my garden that hadn't been weeded. And I had that revelation of, you know, for as hard as we fight to keep things beautiful, to make things beautiful, and then to live in beauty, right? Quote unquote. The work behind it never ends. They go hand in hand. If you want the beauty, you've got to put in the effort, because as soon as you stop, it all falls apart. You know, as soon as you stop maintaining your home, things start to break. As soon as you stop weeding your garden, you know, the weeds grow in and it's not as beautiful to look at. And it dawned on me, oh my God, that's the way it is with everything here. Everything takes effort on strictly the level of the personal self, right? but you have to live there, and you do. You live there. And so there's a recognition that comes that goes, wow, why am I griping so much about having to put effort in when it's just part and parcel of living here, being in form? It takes effort to do just about everything. I mean, if you really think about it, if you just look at feeding yourself, you know, well, you got to prepare it. And before then, you've got to go shopping for it. You got to go pick it out and buy it and bring it home and put it away. And then when you're ready, prepare it before you can actually ingest it, right? But before then, you've got to go and either grow it and put all that labor in, or you've got to have some kind of a job that earns you income so that you can go to the store and buy it. Look at all the effort that goes into just procuring food alone. And all the effort you have to put into everything. So for everybody who gets, you know, bent out of shape about how much work stuff is, you might as well just accept it. Because it's all effort from this level. And your spiritual evolution is no different. It takes concerted effort. If you want the nice house, you've got to go out and get the great job to make all the money so that you can get that nice house. Well, you want liberation? Guess what? It takes a lot of effort. If you're happy just, you know, doing some other kind of spiritual exercise and you don't have aspirations for enlightenment or ascension in this lifetime, then great. Be happy with that. You know, go do your once a week, take laughter yoga and do it. Awesome. It's going to take effort to get there and to engage and to drive home, right? So not horrible effort, but some. But if you want to go all the way, if that's your intent, then effort becomes part and parcel with who you are and where you function from, because there is no other way around it. There's no kind of, you know, how do I say this without sounding crude? I don't know if I can. There's no half-assing your way to enlightenment. It just doesn't work that way. And for anyone, if you want to point to someone and say, yeah, but what about this person? It was like spontaneous enlightenment. I promise you, they did their work prior to this lifetime that gave them the grace to step into it as readily as it looks like they stepped into it in this lifetime. But from the initial fall back to the state of full on remembrance, you know, there is a lot of effort. So it's not any different, this thing that we're doing here, this the reason that I get on this program once a week to talk to people that I can't see, is because it takes effort, and you need a cheerleader, and I'm trying to be your cheerleader, you know, simultaneously to being your teacher at whatever level. Because I've been there, and I know what it's like, and I know that as you continue to do your work, the challenges become more difficult, right? And as you continue to do your work, you may move into a space where you say, well, you know, things got pretty good. I got pretty good where I was at. I got through a lot of that stuff, and I don't really have the triggers anymore I used to have, and life is pretty good. I feel happy most of the time, far better than I ever felt before. And maybe we'll just kind of coast here. And you can't. There is no coasting. You know, there's no, if there's one thing you learn about the way the mind functions, the way the program, the matrix itself is set up, there is nothing that's static ever. And the mind tries very hard to create this stability, this sense that everything can kind of stop in a certain place, but it doesn't exist. Nothing's ever static. And so within that, when, if you apply that to your spiritual journey and the effort that it takes to do it, then that tells you that you're either working toward it or you're kind of moving backwards. There's no in between. So you cannot just coast. It doesn't work that way. And for anybody who tries, what ends up happening for them is you may look like you coast for a while, but life is going to hand you something and it's going to be extremely challenging. Because if you're serious, if you're someone who has listened to me for a long time, you're in a very unique place in your journey, or I wouldn't even come into your awareness. I don't appeal to people who are interested in, you know, they want someone to tell them their future or they want someone to read their aura. Like, those people don't even ever find me. If I showed up on the radar for you somehow, there's a reason. And what I'm trying to do is to continue to encourage you to keep pushing, you know. And it's easier to push when life is crappy. And I'm going to say that with it's not necessarily completely true. If life is really bad, it's hard to push. Because at that point, you just want to give everything up. If life is kind of just crappy in general, it's pretty easy to push because you just want out of that. You haven't, if you're looking at the downward states of mind, it's like you haven't hit full on depression that leads down way down to death. You know, you still have hope. So the hope sits there going, okay, we're going to fix this thing. Right. And if life is great and everything is peachy, are you going to push that hard to uproot all your crap? I don't know what's with the vulgar language coming out of my mouth tonight. Very interesting. But are you? You know, if life is dandy and you've got scads of money in the bank and, you know, you've got a fantastic job and a trophy wife and everything else, are you really going to push that hard? Meaning go in looking for the things that will disrupt what you think to be your stable life, so that you can unearth what needs to be unearthed. Not many people would be willing to do that. For most people, it has to fall apart first. And then, out of their desperation, they turn to self-inquiry, looking deeper, right? It's always out of desperation. You know, the alcoholic doesn't go for treatment when he can deal with his own alcoholism. And when he feels like he's got it under control and he's enjoying it, right? It's only when he hits rock bottom and he either gets kicked out of his house or he's getting threatened that everyone's going to leave him or the family throws an intervention or something that he has to be forced to look at what's going on. That's when they show up at AA. And this isn't any different. And so on one level, I really want you to understand that wherever, for whomever is listening, whenever you're listening, and from wherever you're listening, you know, we all have challenges. And sometimes life brings them in pretty little packages, and sometimes life just throws them all in together in one big mess. And either way, you got to walk through it. Don't you? Either way, you still have to walk through it. And the way to walk through it is not pretending it doesn't exist. And it's not, you know, coming home from work and grabbing a beer and just sitting on your couch in a half coma watching TV. Which is probably a, you know, good chunk of the majority of how people function, which is really unfortunate. It's difficult to maintain a positive attitude about dissolution work when life is extremely challenging. But the benefits are so enormous. They're so enormous. If you really commit yourself to doing the work and to getting in there and asking yourself the hard questions and committing yourself to being brutally honest about the things you've been hiding from yourself, then the beauty is you become more and more capable of dealing with whatever challenge comes your way in a much more graceful and centered way. The challenge doesn't have to disrupt your life, you know, even if in the physical world it disrupts things that you're used to or your routine or whatever it is. It doesn't have to disrupt you, you see, and where you function from in the world. It just becomes another thing to walk through. And without your personal stories in place, that's all it is. It's just another thing to walk through. It's the personal stories that make it so difficult. And that truly is it. You know, sometimes you hear from people who do like, I can't remember where we heard it. Trying to remember. There's like a saying like, you know, we don't have problems here. We have challenges or whatever it is. Like you view it just differently. What's the difference between a problem and a challenge? Well, it's the way you perceive it. You know, there's suffering inherent in the word problem. You know, if it's a problem, you're already victimized. If it's a challenge, there's really no story there other than it's something that has to be met. And something that can be overcome. I like the word challenge, you know, because there's no outcome implied. What you do with it's up to you. But I will tell you that when things get the toughest, that's when you really, really do want to turn to your spiritual practice. Because it will give you strength. And I know that for my students, that can feel extra difficult because their spiritual practice is not easy to begin with, you know, at least part of it. And if you can't bring yourself to sit down and do hardcore processing work when you're really in the middle of a lot of stuff, okay. So you can continue practicing being the observer and you can continue to go into meditation, right? You can pick up the books that I have asked you to read again and spend time with them. You can sit in contemplation every day, you know. Put yourself out in nature, get out in the natural world where the energy is clearer and spend time in that. And that's all part of spiritual practice. And it's important because when life gets really challenging, it has this way of, it's almost like it's like a whirlpool that you get sucked up in, you know, and then before you know it, it's running you and dictating everything about how you're functioning in the world. And you've got to kind of wake up and go, whoa, you know, pull back a little. You have a lot of problems. Okay. Can you take a 15-minute break from the problems and go, you know, sit on a park bench or go in your backyard if you've got one? Listen to the birds. Look at the trees. If you're in the north, go take a walk in the snow. You know, 15 minutes. The problem's still going to be there. You can walk away for 15 minutes. And the other thing is to remind yourself, and I will remind you right now, that you are never, ever alone. Ever. In order to be alone, that means that separation must exist, which it does not. You can't be alone. And you always have assistance at hand. And I mean at hand. So you have guides among you and angels among you who are there to assist you and who are assisting you and who are there trying to comfort you if you just allow yourself to tune in. And so even when you feel the most alone, you can't be alone. And I tell you that from experience, because I was one of those people, and everybody is. You all will move into this space at one point or other where you go, God, I'm alone. And in one sense, it's true, right? But in another, it's not. And you can take comfort in that. And it's important too, you know, sometimes you have to be your own cheerleader. So I'm trying to give you things that you can use to remind yourself. You know, life is really hard right now and I don't know what to do. I don't know what choices to make. And, you know, maybe my wife left me or my kids hate me or you know, I lost my job, like whatever it is. And there's all the kinds of self-blame that's going to go on there and all kinds of shame and guilt that you'll be riddled with. And what I'm saying to you is be kind to yourself, because whatever is happening, even though you can't see it right now, whatever's happening is happening because it's in your highest good. And it always is. And I know that can be hard to hear when you're experiencing suffering. And that's where people always come in with that thing of, you know, why would God do this to me? You know, and I mean, how many people have said that at some point? Everybody has said that at some point in their lives. If God is a loving God, why does he let people suffer? That's the thing that comes up over and over again with people, you know. And the beauty is you have an opportunity because you are someone attracted to deeper teachings to see that from a very different place. If you are that God that has just fallen into a state of amnesia or fallen asleep and forgotten itself, now look at it from that vantage point. There's no God outside of you punishing you. There's no God outside of you trying to make your life hell. You are that. And the only reason you have the challenges is because you have fallen asleep and it's time to wake yourself up. And believe it or not, you're the one bringing yourself those challenges. And you're bringing them because it's necessary. Because from that space, if you could get outside of polarity for just a second and you could experience the energy outside of this construct and then go back in, you would see it so clearly. Oh my God, of course. I'll do whatever I have to do to get back out of that. What the heck? Right? Because it's that strong. It is that strong. I don't know how else to word it. Here we go. So kind of a more graphic way to look at it. But I'm guessing just about everybody listening to me is an adult. So if you're not, close your ears. As an adult, you know the experience of orgasm and you know the energy behind that. It is so powerful that literally you lose yourself in it for a matter of seconds. Yeah. Now imagine that being your state of being all the time. Okay, so you've got that experience and you can relate to that. It's the closest thing you've got in physical form to the energy outside of this densification. So if that's your experience all the time, now equate that to your experience of pain and suffering in the world. And if you came out of that and you were in this and you remembered that, you would be doing everything in your power to get from A to B, or back from B to A, however you want to look at that. And I experienced that in an interesting way. I remember saying to my guide at some point. What was it? Oh, because I had experienced in meditation, things would come up for me. I'd go into extremely deep meditation and I would experience fear, right? When I'd go in really, really deep. So initially there was fear because I stopped breathing, you know, and then there was fear when once my heart was just out of control racing, just really crazy. It was like, whoa, you know. And then I sat with it and I kept looking at why the fear, you know. And well, of course, you would know why the fear. The mind is scared to death of what's going to happen, right? But even having the knowing of the fact that all of this is illusory and that the body can stop breathing and the heart can stop beating and your awareness is present, right? It doesn't mean the body dies, because it doesn't. Even having that awareness wasn't enough to stop the fear, because it's unconscious, right? And it's just running. And you can observe it. But I wasn't able to. I'd go in and it would pull me right out of meditation. And then I was looking at this whole thing around fear, and it's an interesting dynamic that coming up on, you know, illumination, I'll say, there's this fear that's very present. Right to the end, this fear, you know. Oh my gosh, what's happening? It's the primal imprint. It's right there. And it's like, you know, the interesting thing is that when the fear comes, you kind of back off. But when you recognize what the other side is, if you truly get that, then you look at it and you're like, oh my God, like what the heck have I been so afraid of? Because if that's what I'm headed toward, why am I not sprinting toward it? Why am I running from it? And for people, you know, you start as a seeker, it's all purely intellectual. You know, you don't have any experience yet, purely intellectual. And it's easy to not do much from that space. We'll think about things a lot, you know, but we won't actually commit ourselves to doing anything. But once you start and you really start having experiences that transcend your concepts of what's real and not real, and those experiences are more real than your own experience of reality here, and you can't deny them, even though doubt wants to come in, but you can't deny them. Right? You start having those. And then it's like, at some point, you're like, oh my gosh, to think that I'm still really still kind of running away, when it should be just the opposite. You know, it's like there's a brick wall between you and pure union, right? And so everybody should be getting in their cars and putting their foot to the floor and just gunning it for that wall. But how many of us throw the brake out at the last minute or swerve out of the way? Gun it for the wall. I'm telling you. It'll be worth it. How are we doing time-wise, Pelion? We're good? So I don't know why all this is coming tonight, other than it must be people who are listening are really struggling. I was feeling it very strongly a month or so ago. Just the energy was just crazy. So a lot of people are really in it now. And gosh, I'm trying to think of what else I can tell you to keep you boosted. You have any good ideas, Pelion? You've walked through enough junk. What worked for you?
Just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
When the going gets tough.
Really?
The tough get going, right? Isn't that a song by somebody?
Billy Ocean.
80s. 80s music, yes. It's true, though, isn't it? And that's who you've got to be. You know, it's you're here as spiritual warriors. I like that term. It's very accurate. It's very accurate. You have to be to do dissolution work. You know, you can't be wimpy and walk off. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't, because there's just too much that's going to come and challenge everything. It'll challenge everything. I watched another one of my students, you know, very recently walk through something that was just, it was the one thing she feared most that could happen in her world. And she brought it right to her doorstep. And now she's got to walk it in the physical. And this is, it was a beautiful example. Because you have heard me, I'm looking at three people now. You all have heard me say this over and over again, that if you have the opportunity to do any work internally, and if you do it internally, you won't have to walk it in the physical. But if you don't do it internally, at some point, it's going to have to come to you in physical form because you have to walk through it. And that's exactly what she got presented with. And she has had to deal with, you know, it's been just extremely, extremely challenging. Dealing with the... It brings up everything about your concept of love and relationship, and relationship between mother and daughter and child and grandparents, and just like everything has been brought up. And she has had to make choices that were extremely difficult to make from a personal place, and extremely painful to make from a personal place, but they were right action. Because she was, and this was the most beautiful thing about the experience, she was presented with a situation that, when seen from an objective place, there was only one thing that needed to happen and no room for anything else. It was, there was one thing that needed to happen. Of course, from a personal place, it was the last thing she wanted to do. But it was the right thing to do. And when you're presented with that, it can be one of the hardest, if not the hardest thing you'll ever have to do. Because everything in you, from the level of the personal self, is like, please don't. No, 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 no. This is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know? And you can't see that by taking right action, by putting the effort in, right? Standing strong, being that warrior that you need to be, that you're like, or, you know, even though it's from my personal place, I don't want to do this. I'm going to push through and I'm going to do it anyway. You know, and what you can't see is, in doing that, you have so much support from the universe, so much support from spirit. Oh, there's so much support. And when you do the right thing like that, especially when it's personally extremely challenging, it gives the opportunity for such a beautiful resolution to the problem that never could have been there otherwise. It never could have been there otherwise. You had to get out of the way and function outside of the personal self for the benefit of everybody involved, right? And in that, it brings forward an opportunity. Now, it doesn't mean everybody involved takes that opportunity, because they might and they might not, but at least they are presented with it. Whereas if my student had functioned from the level of the personal self with all of it, it never would have even presented as an opportunity for anybody. Because maybe the situation, if she had gone about it differently, could have been resolved temporarily. But that's the point. It would have been temporary. And she would have been back in the same situation a month later, 6 months later, a year later, doesn't matter. But she would have been back in the same situation and faced with the same challenge and the same choices. And she'd have to continue going through this until she finally moved to the space where she made the right choice. The puzzle piece, yeah. She grabbed the right puzzle piece this time. Yeah. That's good. So remember, it's not personal to you, and none of what's going on is personal to you. So even though it feels personal, because you could say, well, my issues with my boyfriend, my issues with my boss, you know, my kids, whatever, my cat, whatever it is. It's really not personal. And it's really not about the other person either, is it? So it's all just this internal battle that's going on. Whatever the issue is with the other person, you know, you're just seeing your own projections and you're seeing your own stuff come up. And I have to stop here for just a second, because some of my students, I have to watch how I say things, because now I'm going to confuse them. Because there are times, and I've had to point it out to some of my students, where they'll use that teaching to keep from recognizing where it is the other person. The other person is doing stuff that's not okay. You know, and it's always beautiful how mind uses the teachings in order to allow it to stay in denial a little longer. And I am guilty of that myself. I definitely am guilty of that myself, especially when it came to being in the state of equanimity, because I was so skilled at being okay with whatever was going on that I, in my own world, allowed things to go on that weren't okay. It just weren't okay. You know, and I used that teaching in order to make me feel justified in not doing anything about it. But what really sat there was that I wasn't okay with it, but I didn't want to do anything about it, because the doing something about it was too hard. Too challenging, right? So when I speak to you, please recognize it's I can do it because I've walked it. That's why I like to share my stories with you, so you can hear, you know, I'm not just someone standing up here just saying things because I read it someplace, or, you know, information came to me from on high. Like, that's not what's going on here. I've walked all of this and I know what it's like. So when I'm saying it, it's because I've had the experience, and I really have. I had to recognize in one particular experience several years ago that, man, I was just a chicken shit. You know, there's this thing that you've been avoiding for a really long time, and you really do need to deal with it. And yeah, it's scary, because what you're going to do may drastically change what your external world looks like, right? But when does it stop being, when does it start being not okay enough for you to actually do something about it? Rather than keep stuffing it and pretending it doesn't exist, or utilizing spiritual understandings to justify your own, repression of it. When are you actually going to man up and do something about it? And it's hard. So if you're in that situation with anything in your life, I get it. I so get it. But I'm also living proof that it can be done. And it can be done with grace. And it can be done, you know, you, because of the support you have, you'd be amazed at how much courage you can muster to do the things that you know you need to do. There is a level of support that comes in that, you know, that's all I can say. It just kind of comes in from wherever, and it gives you the strength that you need to do whatever it is in the moment. Sometimes it's just hitting the enter button or clicking the send thing, you know. Oh my God, I'm about to send this thing. Do I really want to send this thing? Do I? Yes, you do. Just do it, you know. How we doing? 4. You got anything to say? Yeah. She's awful quiet. Everyone's quiet. Megan's curled up on the couch over here. She's like all snuggled in. I don't want to ask her to get up to come over here to say anything. I know she could speak to everything I'm saying. She's walked through a bunch of stuff this past year, but she looks too comfortable. How about you?
It has been an extremely rough year. I thought January would be better, but it wasn't. So to hear that there might be respite.
Yeah, it's a little exciting.
Although I will ask, because I know people are questioning this.
Yeah.
I know that you can't say how long our respite will be. However, when the respite does end, does that mean it's going to be like, you know, like the calm before the storm? Is it going to be like that? Like, should I like prep myself now? Like, get myself in shape?
That's right. Do your spiritual exercises.
Spiritual shape.
Pump yourself up. It's funny. I'm in this vulgar place tonight for some reason, because the only thing that came into my head when you said that was like, yeah, after this is over, it's just going to be balls to the wall. Boom. That's all that's sitting with me. So yeah, gear up. Yep. Well, you know, you have to recognize this is, and here's the thing, people still, by and large, unless you really have been a serious, you know, seeker for a long time, and you really are on your path and have had very strong experiences, unless you've had that, what sits there is still this, this underlying belief that this whole spiritual thing really isn't real. Like, it's something we're playing with. And it's something that we want to be true. But what sits underneath it? Because remember, it's the mind. The seeker is coming out of the space of the lower mind anyway. And so what sits underneath it is this thing where like, oh, yeah, you know, like at some point that'll all be great. But this is what's real here and now. And this is the life I need to lead. And this is, you know, this is it. And that's so inaccurate. And it's not until, you know, it's one of the graces of doing deep work. Once you've committed and once you really start putting the effort in, they, you are given those experiences that then show you how real it is. And that gives you the added courage that you need to keep pushing through it. Because unless you've got the burning desire, it's the only thing I can think of to use to term it, unless you've got that burning desire for freedom, for truth, capital T, right? You won't make it. There is no other way for me to say that, because it requires it all up until the end, you know. But you have the support. And it looks scary from wherever you're sitting. I know it looks scary. And scary all the way up to the end. But it's so worth it, you know. So you just have to carry that, you know, you have support, and that you take, you know, enjoy the breaks when they come. Allow yourself to, you know, enjoy it. Be in life. Love your life. That's great. What you're here to do. Love your life anyway. Embrace it and enjoy it. Look for the magic. You know, it's everywhere around you. But then when the challenges come, embrace those too. Stop running away from them, or stop wallowing in your misery that life sucks. It's going to be a challenge here. The world is polarized. It's not going to change, but it doesn't need to. You just need to see through it. You just need to see through it. And then from that space, you can function in the world. You're not attached to all the stories, and you're not attached to your own victimization. And at that point, you can be proactive in your life, and you can function in it, and it will be marvelous. Challenges and all, I promise you, it will be marvelous. So I picked out a special song tonight, and I picked it out for someone in particular. So if my beloved in Connecticut happens to be listening, this is specifically for you. But above that, this is my love song to everybody tonight because of everything that's going on. And I want you all to know that this is truly my heart to you tonight. I do love you. We'll be with you again next Thursday. Good night.
When it all goes crazy and the thrill is gone, the days get rainy and the nights get long, when you get that feeling you were born to
at your ceiling, thinking of your blues. When there's so much trouble.